Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about the second half of the episode where boys can do magic too. That's right, it's not just for the ladies. When you say the girls and the gays, can you also say Michael Langdon? Can you say the girls and the gays and Michael Langdon if it's not too much trouble? And I'm joined by Michelle Lovely and Slovy Pegging.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, shall we just get into it? Last time we left off with Coco being inducted to the school and hitting it off immediately with not Mallory. Is Mallory? Wait, is her real name Mallory or was her fake name? Or was she always Mallory?
They never change the names. They're just like, we put the spell of we redacted.
Be someone else.
Yeah, right. It's very hard to understand what exactly the spell did because like, functionally, both of them, or I assume, like, well, I guess whatever her name is, the lady who's the Oprah stand-in, probably not. But for Mallory and Coco, like, they said they put them under, like, a memory erase spell, but, like, they do know who they are. So I guess the only thing they, like, took away from them was the knowledge that they were witches.
Witch stuff, yeah.
That seems really hard to do, because you'd also have to, like, supplant a lot of memories to fill in a lot of holes.
Right, because I think the real thing is they want to pull off their, like, fake little misdirect that this is a show about the apocalypse and not Coven 2, but they want to keep the two characters, and the only way to resolve that is with memory shenanigans, even though that kind of like doesn't make sense when you consider like the motive and what they want to accomplish with it according to the plot,
and it invalidates the whole thing of like, yeah, you're right, they were definitely doing it because they want to have some attachment to the first couple of episodes so that it's like not clearly just a waste of everybody's fucking time.
Right.
But they did three episodes of Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, it's just a spell of those episodes didn't matter. Like, the one tie you had to episodes 1 through 3, it's someone else. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Exactly.
It doesn't really even, like, as far... aside from, like, the part where it, I guess, explains why they wouldn't have done anything, TM, when things were happening in the first three episodes, it doesn't super explain why, like, Mallory and Coco needed to not know they were witches. I guess it's one of those things where they're like, oh, well, maybe he can read minds like Cordelia, so we simply just made it so that he couldn't read the minds of those people because it would give away that they were witches. But I don't really know. They didn't, like, stop him. To be clear, like, that's right. The thing is, they died. So, like, it didn't go well.
Yeah. Also, it wasn't like they were putting the witches in as subterfuge so that they could gather information on Michael Langdon or something, because they didn't know they were fucking witches. They had no idea they were even associated with an organization. So I don't know what they were doing there other than getting killed.
Yeah, if they were trying to get it, because the thing is, they didn't know they were witches, so they couldn't have even gotten like information. They couldn't have stopped him. They couldn't have gotten information about like the other people in there. Them being there seems a little pointless, other than just like, yeah, we wanted to see if you'd fucking die. And you did, so damn, that sucks. Good thing it doesn't matter. Good thing death isn't real in this season or in any other season of American Horror Story.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we cut back to the warlocks doing a big old blessing ceremony for Michael Langdon. And for anyone who's lost track, this is in a flashback before the apocalypse times, before we've done another supreme test, but only barely. But we're not fully in the present. And they're doing a little blessing ceremony for Michael where they, like, have a bunch of salt and they're like, this salt protects you from the bad stuff and this water protects you from being dry and this blood protects you from from anemia. I don't know. And they just, like, spill a bunch of shit on the floor around him and then it lights on fire and it's blue and they're like, check that out. Is this cool?
That's the boy fire. That's how you know it's boy fire.
And, yeah, Liz, you've written in your notes, it kind of feels like they're just winging it.
Yeah.
And it real, that's kind of what I meant by my read of it just being like, I don't know, here's salt for like earth stuff or whatever.
This is,
here's some water.
This is like,
you know, round out the elements.
It's like those, you know, those like lighter tricks people did in high school. I guess, I don't know if I'm dating myself, where you take like a gas lighter and you're like, oh, look, I put it all the gas in my hand and ooh, fireball. And it's like, this is like one step over that. Like that kid who never grew up was like, if I had salt and water. And a little blood, the iron, here we go, you know.
Yeah, because like that's like the, I assume they've never done this before because there's never been a quote unquote alpha before, so like I assume they've never done this particular like thing, and it seems like they're like doing it one at a time. Like we, I didn't write down who did which thing and put what in each bowl, but like each one of like the big boy wizards, like the wizard dads, each contribute to something in the bowl, and like each of them say like, this is salt for whatever, this is water for whatever, and I'm like, you could have literally just googled like what goes into like a protection circle or something. Like people do real witchcraft. You didn't have to like make it up, and it would have sounded more interesting if you were like, yeah, I need 3 sprigs of cinnamon harvested from the oldest tree or some shit. You could have just made shit up for real. And they're right. Like,
so they're just
rocks.
Like pantry check.
Yeah.
Pantry check
baking
for the boys.
Soda. Pool chemical tester strip.
A natty light.
this old box of baking soda that's been in the fridge since we moved in.
I think there's a little WD-40 left in this can we can use. I don't want to open a whole new one. You know.
An ant strip that's in the back of the sink. Yeah.
a couple receipts.
A CVS receipt that's really, really long.
Like that's
Here's
what you do
pills
with them.
We found under the some pills we found under the fridge. We think it's an aspirin, but we're not really sure. You know, just put that in there too.
And like an ounce of weed, just an ounce of weed, because this is essentially just a fraternity.
Yeah, exactly. Pledge week,
and
exactly.
So they're doing the spell, and then a big fire goes off, and everyone's like, yippee, except for John, who's like, I still don't trust this kid. And then, like, as John's walking away, he looks back, and I guess everyone, like, doesn't look at Michael at the same time, because he just does, like, a spooky face at him, like, he's kind of like, bah.
He fucking loves doing this. I don't know that's why that's, like, his bit. He's like, ah, I have a scary face now, goodbye. Like, for, like,
you know
one
why?
Second to, like, one person yeah. at a time.
It's because it was in the movie The Exorcist when they flashed that white face out of nowhere.
Oh, true.
And Ryan Murphy saw that and was like, we get that's in there now. That's in the season.
It scared him. It
yeah,
scared
exactly.
him. So he's like, oh shit. We have to put it in the show.
Yep.
Yeah. And so afterwards, oh my God, I keep wanting to say that there's this video of a guy messing up saying chibi, and he's like chibis or chibis. And I keep wanting to say chibis for this guy's name, but it's like Shibli or whatever.
Right.
fucking chibis.
Yeah, chibis goes up to John to celebrate with a drink. And John's packing and getting ready to take his shit and go, which, like, frankly, one of the more reasonable responses we've had in this franchise
yeah.
is just like, yeah, clearly something's up. I'm going. Like, even if you're a wizard and you're like, I gotta go, like, that's no good, you know? You've got magic and you're like, I'm fucking out of here, man.
I want to know how the other 4 warlocks got to be in charge, because it seems like John's, like, the only one that has even a sliver of self-preservation. Because, like, the other ones... I assume John wasn't there, because John appears to have, like, come from a faraway land when they see him at the beginning. the other ones who do live there at the boys' school, they didn't even have the forethought to move the school location after it got burned down by angry villagers. They were like, put it in the same spot, but underground, so it's a worse
put
fire
it in the
hazard.
Hole. They'll never know.
This will be the this is the angriest I've ever been. We're not even moving it. We're gonna keep it right here.
It's a matter
not
of principle.
Getting out of this chair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how did the other four come into any modicum of power with the warlocks? Because it really just seems like four chuckle fucks. Well, I take that back. Baldwin is a delight. I love Baldwin, and he's my special little guy. But, like, the other three chuckle fucks who are just kind of winging it at all points besides John. John's the only one who has, like, any real life smarts at all.
And so Chibi is like, hey, man, why are you being such a dick about the fact that we finally got an alpha? And John's like, man, the witch queen said that she saw a spooky white-faced demon guy go bleh. And then Michael literally turned to me and turned into a spooky white-faced demon and went bleh. So, like, I think maybe she was cooking. Maybe I should look into it. I think she might have been right. She might have had a point.
And why? Like, Michael...
Somehow Chablis' response to this is just like, fuck you, man. You're just jealous.
Pussy shit. Michael doing this specifically to John is like the equivalent of like a dog talking to someone and then being like, go ahead, tell somebody. They'll never believe you. Except for it's just him doing a dumb Snapchat filter on his face. And it's working. Because every single person that John tries to talk to is like, fuck you. Like, they're all like,
that's
you're
not
so
a thing.
Fucking stupid. You're a bitch. You're a bitch.
That's impossible. Now, don't distract Michael from traveling into hell for a lark and coming back.
Yeah,
before moving shit
like
with his
there
mind.
Should be, there should be a little bit more like credulity around here. Like, people should be willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt if something like weird or mystical happens because it's a warlock school. Like, you'd be like, hey, man, something was weird. Like, I saw a bunch of like snakes emerge from this guy, and they're like, you're so fucking wild, man. And it's like, we're a warlock school. What do you mean?
Oh,
you can't
God.
Be dismissive at the warlock school. That's just...
Keep this guy away from the potions, am I right? But seriously, though, he'll turn to stone.
And the spell books.
The potions! Yeah, and so after telling him, hey, you're just jealous of our new big man. You're just mad. You're just mad it's not you. And then, like, immediately is like, John, you're not going to go see Cordelia. And, like, goes to start casting some kind of spell at John. And John just, like, one hand pins him to the wall. And he's like, look, motherfucker, we've been having a cool time and playing back and forth. I am so much better wizard than you. Fuck off. I'm leaving. And So he does, and as he's leaving, he just says, hey, by the way, I'm not jealous. I'm fucking afraid. He turned into a white-faced demon and went, blah, I feel like no one's hearing me say this.
Yeah, the attitude that the other warlocks besides John are going to have about this and John is going to it's going to go from one end of the spectrum to the other in the span of, like, 10 minutes. I won't say what happens, obviously, but something will happen at the end of this episode, which, in case you have forgotten, this is part two of a real episode, so, like, it's still the same episode we were talking about last week. So this is, like, maybe 20 minutes of TV left. This was a short, like, time-wise, a short
How
episode.
How could you forget being in the middle of Boy Wonder, the greatest episode yet? Oh,
my favorite episode, Boy Wonder. Mm-hmm. Like, this happens at, like, roughly, I don't know, the 23-minute mark, the 24-minute mark. And then the turnaround that this character is going to have is going to be in, like, 6 minutes. So you're going to have Chablis have a very hard stance about how he feels about Michael, as do the other warlocks, who have done nothing but be like, that's our man Mikey, we fucking love this kid, up until now. Something will happen that will not change his mind, and then he will arbitrarily change his mind, and we will get there. But the way that, like, usually when you make a character in a TV show or a movie or a video game or a comic, and you give that character either a motivation or a core belief, even if the core belief is something somewhat, like, not negligible, but, like, not life or death per se, but, like, a core belief that a character has. It can be something like the sky is blue. You don't, because you're the person writing it, you have the ability to not give those characters that core belief, or... to make sure that if that core belief is questioned in some way, that it's by a compelling source. Chablis will effectively fold under no pressure.
I don't know. Is this the same sort of advice as don't go, like, more than two flashbacks in? Like, or, like, spend an hour in a flashback or multiple episodes?
Do you think, like, they want people to think that's cool? Do you think they want people to, like, talk about that positively? Like, whoa, they're doing a flashback in a flashback? That's so sick. Yeah. Just like Inception.
It's like Primer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Just like it. 100%.
This is bold storytelling, I say to my friend at the water cooler.
But the good news is we do now have, like, any form of, like, intrigue or, like, tension going on in the form of John leaving and possibly getting a little bit of a background thing going on. Because otherwise it seems like it's just Michael Langdon's cool day out where everything goes right for him and he doesn't, like, try particularly hard. And, like, since we already know what happens afterwards with the apocalypse or whatever, there's just, like, no tension in this flashback we've been in for, you know, like, three fucking episodes now. And I just, like, really appreciate that now we've got the John subplot, you know? Like, there's a warlock out on the road making moves. So, John pulls up the middle of nowhere at a gas station. And he needs to get gas for his reasonably cool car, I guess. I think I'll say, like, it's, like, reasonably cool. It's, like,
car.
Kind of an old car.
It's, like, a cool car. It's, like, not a cool car for, like, everybody else, but, like, for a dad, it's as close as they can get to getting, like, a really cool car.
Like a
car.
Goth dad.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like a little classic, but, like, you know, you can still get maintenance work done by a professional, that kind of thing. and so he's getting his gas pumped, and then a little Prius pulls up on the next pump over, and Kathy Bates gets out and goes, "Oh, geez, I'm having trouble pumping my gas. Can you help me, John?" And John's like, "Okay, I guess." Which, like, it's weird to have that response. It's weird to have, yes, I'll help, but I'm going to be mean about it. That's, like, a weird response to have for a little old lady asking for help. It'd be like, "Hey, can you help me get the cereal off the top shelf?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, you old bitch." Like, why? Wait, why would that be a response? That's crazy.
It's because you're not a warlock. You don't have enough checks, notes, magic in your testosterone or something. I don't know.
I've got too high of T. So I can't do the weird half rudeness to grandma's. Oh, God. And after saying, you know, like, "Okay, yeah, sure, I'll help you in, you know, working with the gas or whatever," Kathy Bates then just pulls out a knife and, like, oh, she, like, drops something on the ground. She, like, drops her wallet or something and is like, "Oh, shucks, I dropped my wallet. Let me just bend over near your ankles and give me those." And then, like, slashes his ankles.
No, it's so much, it's so much fucking dumber than that, because that would make sense. That's not how it happens. She takes out her wallet because she's like, "Can you help me pump my gas?" And he's like, "I fucking guess so," because it's, like, 2 a.m. And she's like, "I never know how to put the thing inside of the hole." And then he's like, "Oh, I got it." And then he does it. And then he's, like, sitting there waiting. Cause, like, which I don't know where "can you help me with the gas?" Like, I don't know where, like, helping with that ends. I don't know, like, is it once it's in the hole? Like, I don't know where helping ends.
You know, to be a little fair to John Henry, it's a weird ask. And, you know, I live in this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I live in the state too where you're not allowed to pump gas, but, like, it's not like I need help. But even so, I do feel like him standing there and actually pumping the gas is way too big a favor. Like, at that point, it's okay, I got it in. Yeah. You have to hold down the actual, you know, lever or whatever, you know. But
otherwise, the question should be, will you pump my gas for me? Not, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And yeah.
To which, like, also he could be like, no, I'm not going to pump your gas because that's too much. And, you know, it's well, anyway, I'm going to get to this in a second because I have a big problem with this whole scene, surprisingly. But, you know.
Yeah. So,
yeah, after.
Wait, no. Wait, I forgot to put it in order. I forgot the most important part. So she doesn't pay. She just lets him put it in the hole, and then they just stand there. In the TV show, they make them stand there for like 3 seconds in awkward silence. And then he goes, so do you have a credit card or... And she's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, is this part of the bit? Or was Kathy Bates going to, or was like, whatever this lady's name is, Mead, was she just going to hang out with him for like an indeterminate amount of time until he brought it up? She's like, oh, yeah. And she, like, goes to get her wallet out, and she, like, beefs it, and it hits the ground. And she goes, oh, no, Butterfingers or whatever. And then she does not make an attempt to pick it up. She just looks at him. And I'm like, you're not acting, like, disabled in any way. You're just, like, a middle-aged lady. Like, it's insane to expect this man to bend down and pick up your wallet. And she just, like, looks at him with, like, big puppy eyes, like, please pick up my wallet. And he's like, fucking, what are you talking, whatever. And then he bends down to pick it up. And then she slashes his ankles. You'd think it would make more sense for her to be going down to that level to slash his ankles. No, she adds like a humiliation level to it of making him bend over so he's bent over ass out. And then she slashes his ankles like Pet Sematary. It is the most insane sequence of events.
It's massage training. No, I'm kidding. That's the robot, not her. But
it's all that massage training, yeah.
Right. And he, like, falls over, and then she cuts his throat and goes, no more spells. Which, like, I guess we have to be told.
What does that mean?
That I think she's supposed to say, no, you can't speak now because I slit your throat, so you can't cast a counterspell. Hence, why is a warlock letting me do this, you know? Or
it was so funny to me because, like, really, she's just... It's like they've had a back and forth in the past, and she's like, no more spells. But, like, he hasn't cast a spell
yet. I know.
Like, for all you know, this is the wrong fucking guy, you know? Like,
Okay, you brought up... My other thing, because obviously this is Kathy Bates' plan to kill John Henry, right? So what if he doesn't need gas?
Yeah.
Like, how does this go, you know?
She sucked it out of his car.
What if there's another person there? Like, what if you're like, hey, can you pump my gas? And some other guy's, oh, I got it, lady. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a plan, you know? This is like, oh, I had another plan, but he stopped for gas, so I guess I'll improv this or something, maybe, but it doesn't work. Like, it couldn't work.
She's been taking improv classes and wanted to test out her skills and figure this would be the... She actually didn't know he'd stop for gas. She was elated that she was going to get to try a bit on him.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to wait for him to hit a 7-Eleven, and that would have been chaos. This is much easier.
And if you're like me, at this point you're going... Come the fuck on, man. She wouldn't just know that she needs to show up and kill this guy. Like, are we doing like a psychic Satan link? Or like, what's the point here? This is like too convenient every step of the way. Well, don't worry. They'll get to that. But first, after telling him, hey, no more spells, she then just puts a bunch of gas on him and then like... throws the match on him, like, right next to him before driving off. Like, very close to her
car. Not even in the car. She's not even in the car yet. She's, like, leaning against the door. That is definitely, like, you get the fuck away from it before you do it activities. It's a Prius, but it'll still blow up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thermal runaway is a bitch. And then you die. So then she drives off to go meet with Michael, and she does. And Michael goes, oh, hey, did you take care of the problem? And she's like, yep, you bet, which implies that he called his mom to take care of John, which is
mommy.
Like kind
help?
Of right.
mommy, I'm a special boy, help. It seems like Satan could have handled this if he was really not a deadbeat dad.
Wouldn't this have been easier to have gotten it with magic? Like, just have the car blow up or crash or something? Like,
slow beef. No more spells. She was very explicit. No more spells.
But, she hates spells.
But Michael, so
the opposite,
much, right?
opposite of Shadow see. Wizard Money okay. Gang.
No, you're right. Got
the
you.
Mossad hates spells. That's right. So then he reveals that like the plan of becoming the Supreme is so that he can destroy the witches and the warlocks from within, which like new motivation just dropped, I guess. Like, I guess that's what Satan wants now, is he's like, it's time to collect on these fucking witches, which like it seems like they die, you know. Like, mm-hmm. naturally, over right. time. They're not immortal.
Or
so,
a
like,
gun.
I don't get why Satan would be impatient on this one. He'd be like, oh, damn it, I want those souls. Give me those.
Everybody can be revived, though, so that's kind of a problem. But it's not, like, fixed by him becoming the alpha or whatever. Can he, right. like, can he be like, no, I've cast time out, which means you can't revive anybody anymore. I just
no
made
more
it up.
Spells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our stories are going to work, damn it. We're going to have stakes again. But
so, that would be really funny.
Then Kathy Bates is like, yeah, no, it's fine. They're all stupid. It'll be easy. You'll pass the seven wonders. It's easy. It's baby magic. You have no problems with that. And then Grandmaster Ariel just like walks out of a bush and is like, I'm in on it too. That's how Kathy Bates knew. It wasn't just convenient. I was here. I helped too. You can stop being annoyed, Ty. And I'm like, fuck you. I can stop being annoyed. You wrote that he's here and it's stupid.
Yeah, why couldn't Michael just scry it? We already know he can scry. Like, that's the one thing we do know he can do. So, like, why didn't they just have Michael scry where he was?
Yeah.
No more spells.
And,
no, fucking true.
No spells. And then Kathy Bates warns him to, like, not talk to his father about Grandmaster Ariel, which is like, do you mean Satan? Does Satan not know? Does Satan not know that you're working with the war? Isn't this Satan's plan? Well, wait, hold on.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. I, for whatever reason, because like they're so vague about what the fuck they're talking about that like it doesn't make any sense. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. When they do explain it, it's still not going to make any sense. But, like, I think she doesn't want the warlocks to know Satan is involved, although they have kind of known since, like, the start, because they got him from jail because he killed somebody to save his Satanist mom, and also John Henry was like, that kid is possessed by the devil, like, 100 times. So, like, it doesn't make any sense to withhold that information from the warlocks. Also, I don't know that the warlocks would care, ? Historically, well, witches and warlocks are pretty cool with Satan, I think.
I mean, I guess you, I don't know. I guess you'd be like, well, maybe he's not technically the alpha now. Maybe it's not men, it's demons, I don't know. You know,
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're afraid to, like, I think that, I really, honestly, that's so fucking funny. That is probably actually it. The thing about it is probably, like, the warlocks would be so, like, sad. Like, genuinely, like, pathetically sad. Like, aw, you mean he's not the alpha? He's just, this guy's cheating. He's got powers from Satan or whatever, because he's Satan's, like, special boy.
Or they're like, Cordelia's never going to test Satan. Like, it's not gonna happen. Yeah, you know, we gotta keep that under wraps. But
it would just be really, really sad, like a pathetic sad, if that was the right. case. It's like if they found out that he was like working with Satan, and they were like, "Man, we thought we were finally gonna get a boy supreme. This sucks. This they're like kicking rocks, hands in their pockets, like packing a bindle, walking down the railroad. Like this sucks." Yeah, it's. It's very strange. But yeah, Grandmaster Ariel's like, yeah, fuck John Henry. It's more important that we have a boy supreme, and I'm willing to murder one of my own in order to make sure that happens. And I'm like, don't you need as many warlocks as you can get? Also, like, what do you mean? Like, why is it that important? Why is it that important to you that there's a boy supreme? A boy supreme, to the point where you would kill John Henry. Why wouldn't you just, like, I don't know, trap him in a magic box? Like, why are you having him get murdered by a lady you don't know? It, again, John Henry was really kind of the only one of the warlocks who had any shred of self-preservation or like critical thinking skills, unfortunately.
And that's why he was a beta. See what I...
True.
Because yeah, that's right.
Not an exactly. alpha.
That's right. Not like Michael.
Brother.
But speaking of Michael, we get to see him.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hey, remember in season 3 when they had to do the black and white like silent film of Seven Wonders thing? Let's just do that again. Let's just copy paste that onto this season. And Michael is doing the Seven Wonders, same music, you know, and he does.
They like made a big deal about how the Seven Wonders are like incredible, and it's like super hard to do them all, and it's gonna take a long time, and the test is dangerous. He does all of them except for one in like 30 seconds.
Yep, exactly. Like, yeah, it's
legitimately doing the like the no speaking movie, you know, but with. Like, cutting from each one to the next, like, just being like, telekinesis, okay, he did it, mind control, okay, he's making these ladies dance around, transmutation, aka teleportation, okay, he did it, divination, yep, you got it too, pyrokinesis, yeah, he put his blood on the ground and it's on fire, okay, moving on,
yep,
enough
yep.
of this, like, it's insane how they make it such a big deal, and then it's legitimately done in under a minute, like, you're just like, yeah, what, you know he can do them, who fucking cares, whatever, man.
And then when you're doing Descensum next, where you have to go into hell, and Cordelia throws out like, "Hey, listen, little extra credit thing. My friend Misty Day is down in hell. You remember her, season 3? If you could just go back and grab her too, that would really help me out. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do a DoorDash order for me? Can you run an Instacart order for me real quick while you're down there? I mean, since you're down there, like."
Right.
No one else is down there right now. Like, can you maybe, like, pick it up for me?
Apparently she died in a way that, like, is permanent as opposed to everyone else who died in a way that's, like, not a big deal. Can you, like, deal with it? She died in, like, a bad way. Can you handle that? And then Grandmaster Ariel, like, pulls Cordelia aside and is like, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. He doesn't have to do that. That's horse piss. You know that's not the rules. And she goes... Yeah, it is. The apocalypse is coming, so we need to make sure that the alpha is, like, super cool. Ariel's like, that's horseshit. You know that's not the rules. Fuck this. I do not know why the warlocks are like this. Like, immediately she's like, hey, by the way, could you grab my friend Misty Day? And Michael's like, yeah, okay. And Ariel's like, I'm being oppressed.
Literally, like, Michael is, like, super chill with it. He's like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be down there anyway. That's cool. I already brought back, like, two of your people. Like, sure, I'll bring back another one. Well, that's fine.
And you know the thing is, too, because, like, I'm sure someone wants to point out, like, well, Misty died doing Descensum, so maybe that's why she's stuck there. But as we're going to see, she's in pretty much the same position that Mallory was in, you know, like, in terms
yeah.
of hell. So, like, yeah, it's not a problem. Like, there are no rules. There's no reasons. It's all just you can be brought back, you know, if you want to or not. So that's, yeah. So I don't know. Ariel's, though, like... you're trying to skew things in your favor here in the final game, and also this would have been smarter to have asked Michael to do, like, before he started on all of this stuff, you know, and instead of, like, at the end of the Seven Wonders, but hey, what do I know? I clearly don't.
Also, he's already done it. That's the thing, is he's technically already done it, because he brought two people back from hell, or, like,
oh, yeah.
1.5.
Twice.
So, like,
yeah.
he's done it. So, A, why does he even need to do the test? And B, like, why are you worried that he's not going to be able to do it? You know he can do it. He's did it twice. He did it two times. There's not, like, it's not even like, oh, well, he didn't bring someone back those two times. No, he explicitly did. That's why he did it. Like, it's not even like it was a, oh, I went to hell just to see if I could last time. No, he did the thing Cordelia is asking him to do two times already. So there's literally
to get
no
Cordelia's
stakes.
Attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that she sees it's possible, too, why didn't she go to save Misty Day? You know, like, she kind of plays it off like, oh, I care so much. And I could maybe could see, like, well, I don't know that I can get Mallory out. And then it's like, oh, it is possible.
Oh, my powers are weakening.
Oh, that's true.
I might
yeah.
not be able to do it because I have the witch dying disease
oh, yeah.
of my tummy turning to ash or whatever.
They thought of everything.
That's right.
And so Ariel and Cordelia are like fighting back and forth, and it insanely does not matter because Michael walks in the room and is like, hey, while you were both talking about me, I decided I'm going to go do it. And they're like, oh, okay.
He's so pleased. Like, yeah, it's cool. He's so like, he has such like a little lad face when he opens, because he like ominously opens the fucking wall door that they keep doing in the fucking boys' school. And they're just arguing, like, mom and dad are fighting. And then he just like double hand opens the door and is just standing there like the man standing emoji. And they both look at him like, what do you want? And he's like, I'm going to go to hell and get misty. Like with this like little shit eating grin. It's really, yeah, it's really good. Ariel like had the potential to be kind of a cool and menacing character. Like his design of being like the evil Pope or whatever, like looked kind of cool. He pitches such a little bitch fit here that it, like, any aura he had is gone. Like, he starts, like, tweaking out, and he's like, no, you're embarrassing me. And then, I guess to get, like, catty, I guess to, like, do a low blow, Ariel's like, you are your mother's daughter. You're just trying to kill Michael, which is, like, a sensitive topic, I guess, for Cordelia, but you have to remember also, I would like to remind everybody, this is a fucking anthology series. Nobody is supposed to know who the fuck her mom is, because this isn't, like, season two of anything. This is a different season, or at least it's supposed to be. So this statement means nothing coming from Ariel to anyone who has not seen Coven. But alas, they don't know what an anthology is. But he's like, you're just like your mom, which is like when someone says something they know is extra shitty just to like get an upper hand in an argument. But Cordelia shuts that shit down, and maybe the one time that like she has like a little bit of aura, and she's like, don't forget who the fucking Supreme is in this room. And I'm like, get his ass. Finally, someone is like snatching up the the fucking weak ass bitch loser energy in here, like, thank God. And then that's when Michael comes in and is like, okay, well, you guys were fighting, I've decided I'm gonna go to hell. I'll see you later. I'm gonna go lay on the ground and go to hell, goodbye.
And oh brother, does he ever lay on the ground. That's the one thing they make sure everyone does in this show, which I adore. For the record, I think it owns that the way you go to hell is by lying on the ground and assuming the position of giving the fuck up. I think that's cool. And so he does. Michael Langdon lies on the ground and everyone stands around him and is like, this is so tense. As he's just lying on the ground, they're like, whoa, the energy in here is crazy.
What do you think they do? So, like, cause we don't know how long it takes. Like, if it's like one of those things where like an hour in there is like 10 seconds up here or whatever. They
don't like ever Inception? Like...
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, they don't explain what the time dilation's like in hell. So, like, do you think that it's, like, one-to-one time, and the whole time those people are just standing over Michael's body watching him sleep?
Here's what I think. I think it's one-to-one until Ryan Murphy sees Inception and goes, no, that's better. And then in Coven season three, it'll become a time dilation thing that'll match.
True. Oh, no, I forgot there's going to be a season three of this. God damn it. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Yippee. Yay. There's more witch time, baby. That's what we're doing for. So, Michael's going to hell, and not just Slow Beef and I, am I right, hey, brother? Hey.
That was the alternate name of this podcast, is Michael is going to hell, parentheses, featuring Liz.
Michael's go to hell, yeah. he's going down to Misty's hell, and he's, like, walking through a long mirror hallway, and then... Misty's hell is her in what is apparently either like an early high school or like late middle school science class dissecting a frog over and over again, which like, so the thing that's always killer to me about this is it's supposed to be like Misty Day can't deal with like harming a creature in nature or whatever. But like, that's not how nature people are. Like, nature people understand that like animals dying is like part of nature. Like, it's a big cycle. That's why that's part of the beauty of it, right? It's not just like everything should live forever. Every animal should be immortal. Like, no, that's not why you like nature. That's crazy.
She's not a pacifist, because remember, I think we meet her when these like guys are like killing the alligator, and then she makes the like undead alligator like chomp them, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she fucks those guys up. She fucks them up.
It's yeah, exactly. She's no stranger to blood. So like maybe she'd be like, "Oh, I don't want to hurt a frog." But yeah, she's in nature. She knows, you know. Exactly. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like a very like childish reinterpretation of Misty, which like we don't need to do Misty Day dirtier, bro. We already did her as dirty as possible. We don't need to then like come back and assassinate her character further.
These are just like childish hells, though, where it's like Madison. I have called her Mallory before. Madison's just like, hey, you gotta work retail and it sucks. And it's like, yeah, but that's a real thing that can happen. And here it's just like, okay, so Misty, I guess, I don't know if she's reliving something, but she's like, she makes the frog come back to life because it's dead. Yeah, that's usually a dissectum, right? And then the other kid's like, Mr. Whatever, she's doing it again. He's like, oh, Misty. And then he cuts it up, makes her cut it. And she's like, no. And then it repeats. But the weird thing is that if it repeats, does that mean they're like wiping her memory so she won't know not to do it next time? And then
I guess.
But then if so, that's like not great torture either, because you're only experiencing it once. You know what I mean? It's not like endless for you, you know? It's just like, oh, that sucked. You know, but for you, it's just the one time, so.
Yeah,
you know.
This is mostly hell
it's
for me specifically.
It's a very shallow suffering.
Yeah.
This is like Liz hell, having to touch a frog over and over and over again. Like, that's my specific brand of hell. Like, this is a Liz hell. This isn't a Misty Day hell.
But, like, the thing is...
I'm gonna say I love this. I don't love this for you specifically, but I do love that, like, in this scene of, like, oh, no, the torture is she has to stab a frog that she's making alive over and over again. You're just, like, viscerally experiencing someone touching a frog, and that is actually hell.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Just
seeing a frog move in a weird way in someone's hand, and you're like, I'd rather explode.
Yeah.
And, literally. But you know what, too?
Literally.
But the thing is that the flaw in this hell is when we use Descendum and pull you out, you're going to be like, I had to touch a frog once. Oh, I guess that hell's not too bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing. Like, it's not a thing.
Damn,
like,
hell wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah. Like, Misty, we know when she gets out of this, going to be like, yeah, all right. I don't even know. Was I in there that long? I think I just did that one. I cut it, and that was it.
It's like 45 seconds. Yeah, it's not a big deal at all. It's like this cool Cordelia.
It's like a ride you wait like, you know, 30 minutes for, but then it's like, oh, that was over in a minute? That's like, what? That was nothing. What the hell? But, you know, what the hell? Like that, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, so what happened to you? Yeah, then Michael comes in and he just like he kills the teacher. Like, what the fuck?
there's like a nasty teacher who keeps going up to Misty and being like, no, you're gonna dissect this frog dead or alive, and then grabs her hand and like forces her to do it. And then when he's going to do it again and being like, it's cutting time, Misty, give me that scalpel. Then Michael Langdon he kills him by like sticking a scalpel all the way through his body, which is crazy. That's not what a scalpel does.
Also, was that like an NPC guy in hell? Did he die twice? Did he die in hell? What happens if you die in hell? Do you go to super hell? Is that what Dante Inferno's is about?
Or is he going to be in the time loop, but now Misty's not there? So it's just a dissection class for him? And it's like, hell is just literally nothing for me. I don't even know.
Hell's just my day job.
I guess I just teach science class now. Yeah.
Is this like hell or just like a memory I'm having?
Oh,
yeah.
See, we're missing a deleted scene where we found out that morning before he went to work as a teacher, a science teacher, his wife served him divorce papers. They forgot to show that part.
But he still came in.
Misty just kind of looks at him and goes, are you here to save me? And he's like, yeah, kind of. Yeah, close enough. Let's go. Then Michael sits up back in the real world, and Ariel immediately is like, that's not fair. It's not fair that you made him do Descensum. That's bullshit. It's crazy that you did. Which, like, everyone everyone just has to be like, no, it's cool. He passed. Like, even if he didn't get Misty Day back, like, he did still pass the Seven Wonders.
Right,
she
doesn't, exactly.
Yeah, she doesn't really get to say, like, I understand your concern is that, like, she's not going to pass him, but, like, it literally doesn't matter if he can do all of them. He is the Supreme, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm
yeah.
not stupid. That's how that works. Is like
Cordelia
if you have the powers, you have the powers.
That's the thing. Yeah. Is Cordelia does, they're acting like Cordelia picks the Supreme, and we saw in season 3 that's not how it works. You can't choose who is the next Supreme. You are simply doing a litmus test to make sure you have picked the right person. So you can be like, yeah, this person is clearly becoming the new Supreme. That's why the old one is dying. It was meant to be like, even though it's not a practical like application from like a running the school scenario, I think it was a anytime the Supreme starts dying, we need to figure out who the next one is so that we don't not have a Supreme. It's not like American Idol where everybody tries out to be the Supreme, though you probably wouldn't be able to tell from watching season 3 because that's how they treat it. Even though they made the rules and explained how the Supreme works, and that isn't how the Supreme works. They just want to have Warlock and Wizard, or Wizard and Witch, Hunger Games is what they want, and they fucked it up by making the rules bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yep.
But Misty's here, so that's good.
Yeah, so after he comes back and he sits up and they're like, oh, where's Misty? And Ariel starts popping off. Misty then, like, reverse Sandmans, I think, or like reverse Thanos snaps, where like a bunch of dust starts appearing and then it forms into Misty Day.
They played it backwards, like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she got unsnapped. And then she just like appears and everyone's like, yippee! And then everyone runs up and gives a big hug to Misty. And then Michael's nearby and she just kind of backs away from him, which like, yeah, if somebody backs away from the guy who just saved them from hell, that's like not a great sign, right? That's like a pretty obvious, yeah. Like, ooh, hey, that, dude, that's not good enough to get a hug? Yeesh. And after that, Michael just says, like, hey, I did the Seven Wonders. Do you want a bonus one or, like, we good here? And then Cordelia is like, okay, fine, you're the new Supreme, and then passes out. we then cut to Misty and Cordelia. They, like, couldn't think of a way for Misty and Cordelia to be alone, which is crazy because she could have just been like, hey, thanks for bringing her back from hell. I have a lot of catching up to do. Would you give us an hour? Like, that seems like that would be reasonable. You don't need to pass out. You could just be like, hey, remember I said this person was really important to me and was stuck in hell? That. And then just, like, walk to another room.
Because with her passing out, what's really funny is because, like, given how specifically Ariel has been acting, with her passing out, I fully expected Ariel to be like, oh, come on. Now she's just stalling. Like, goddamn. Anything but naming Michael the Supreme, I guess. But she literally, I would like to remind you, she literally says before she passes out, yeah, man, you're the Supreme. Like, she says it in no uncertain terms. She looks Michael dead in the eyes and goes, nope, got it. Got it, Chief. Heard, Chef. You are the Supreme, actually. Goodbye. I'm taking a nap now. I just want you to know we didn't like forget that she says that. Then she wakes up from evil nap disease, and Misty brings her in some tea, and she says, this isn't Louisiana mud, but it will have to do. I'm like, Louisiana mud's for like when people die or are like dismembered as of that season, not for, yeah, like when you, yeah, faint.
It wasn't like a type of tea you made. It wasn't like a drink you made. It was you
mud.
Literally slapped mud on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was literal mud.
Yeah, she means Louisiana mud, parentheses, real. And then Cordelia's like, well, what is it then? And she goes, Lipton. And I'm like, why is Misty making tea for Cordelia? Like, what is going on here? And Misty's like, so? I think you should have left me in hell. I'm pretty fucking scared of that kid. That kid really gives me the ick.
Why?
Not a fan. Yeah, I know.
Why? What's he gonna do to you? Like, you know?
He does have those blue eyes, like the meme that says, for God's sake, please get her brown contacts. Like, I get it. Like, his stare's a bit... It stares a bit much.
You should have left me dead. That guy might kill me. Like, come on, Misty. Like, it doesn't make sense.
You were in hell. Yeah. You were literally in hell. Relax. It's a bit much.
Maybe she liked it. Maybe she actually secretly liked it. And then Michael saved her and she's like, oh, well, this is awkward. well, shit.
Unfortunately for the demons, this is... It is torture to me, but that's also my kink.
Yeah.
Sucks to suck, I guess.
Like Mr. Gallant
or
whatever.
Tell me I'm a bad girl again when I dissect the frog.
Oh no, I would hate if a big scary demon were to whip me with some chains. Ooh.
Oh no, oh, that'd be so bad.
Then Misty is like, she basically does like this, like, I saw him talking to Satan thing. I kind of forget exactly what it was, but because Cordelia's like, well, maybe he was negotiating your release.
I can tell you what it was. So, all the kids are going.
It's very funny. Yeah, after he kills the teacher and then like he's like, okay, I'm going to save you. All the kids like look up in the sky, open their mouth and just go, at the same time.
All right, okay.
Misty's like, it was so demonic. And it's like, it seemed stupid, honestly.
Okay, so, like, is Satan like Chewbacca where, like, only Michael can understand him? Or. Because those kids were definitely just going, ooh, like, really loud. Oh my god, I forgot that happens.
It's so funny because it really is just out of nowhere. All the kids just being like, "Ah!" It's like, what is this? Is this how the devil talks? You'd imagine Satan would just like be like, I'm here now. Hey, what's good, Mike? Instead, he's just like, this is how I love to talk to my son.
He loves this. I've done this ever since he was a child. I love to make small children go, ooh.
Maybe that's code.
My dad is cool, but he's so annoying to talk to. I have to like slit my wrists and roll around in the ground and summon snakes, or like I have to save a lady from hell and then he makes children hoot at me. And it's like, Dad, I have a phone. Come on.
This is so embarrassing, Dad. I hate when you talk to me in front of my friends.
I hate when to communicate with you. You make me roll around on the ground going, Daddy, help, Daddy, please.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And Cordelia says something which sounds like something we would say about the show, which maybe they shouldn't do. Maybe they shouldn't have characters point out like something that makes sense. She's like, well, if he was like talking to the devil, maybe he had to negotiate to get you out of there. Like, we don't know how this works. And I'm like, yeah. That makes sense. That's a good observation. Unfortunately, it will not have any effect on the outcome of this conversation.
Right, because the rejoinder is counterpoint. He smells bad. Like
yeah,
a demon.
Stinky. Smells right. Stinky. Smells like
that's
death
just
and the
axe.
Devil.
Right.
This is just another case in one of the things that pisses me off so much about this season of you have so many chances to give all of the cast reasons to not trust Michael Langdon, but you just didn't do any of them. So anytime someone doesn't trust him, their reasoning is just, I don't like his vibes. And from a writing perspective, that sucks, man. It's so boring. Like, everyone just knows that he's a bad guy, and there's no, like, intrigue. There's no reason. There's no, like... Even the wizard guys, even like the heads of the warlocks, like they know something's up with him. They just have a vested interest in not giving a shit. But like, he's not,
Especially when they have him be like the trickster guy or whatever. He's like not tricking literally anyone. Like everyone's on his game second one. Like he walks in the room and they're like, that guy's possessed by the devil. Like
it's, well, I'm telling it's you, it's the eyes. It's the blue eyes. I'm telling you, as someone with blue eyes, I get it. My grandma has those eyes. They're just really like unsettling.
That's true. When I met you, the first thing I thought was like, that girl's possessed by the devil. For sure.
It's also, you know, like when writing and they say like, show, don't tell. But this is like, I'm going to show you something, but I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on. Even if it contradicts what I showed you earlier, you know, like you ultimately just get delivered. Like, here's the next thing. That's the villain. Don't worry about the details. That's just off.
Doesn't he look like it? Doesn't he look like he'd be evil? Like, look at him. He's got like bleach blonde hair.
He had to show John Henry his demon face. And Misty's just like, he smells funny and I don't like his eyes. Like, it's like, all right. I mean, she's right, so I guess she clocked it, but still, I mean.
They make Misty so dog-coded. Like, Misty is so dog-girl-coded. They're like, yeah, she can just smell when someone's a bad person.
Jesus Christ. So,
that's not even magic or anything. That's just a thing she does.
And you're right, and like Cordelia kind of treats her like a dog too. Like she's got this whole like, I only knew you for 2 days, and you were my best friend ever.
Fair, and then, yeah.
So then, yeah, and then she's like, "Don't worry, Misty. Michael will never be the supreme." Which is like, I don't know about all that. I don't know what we spent the last like 20 minutes doing in this episode, Cordelia. But I think. Clearly.
Like, it's not a thing someone gets to decide is what's crazy about this. It's like just not a thing anyone gets to decide in a meaningful fashion. As far as we know, it is just a thing that occurs in the universe. Like, someone else becomes the Supreme. The current Supreme starts dying. These things just happen. It's not like you get to be like, okay, you get to be the Supreme. Okay, you can't be the Supreme. No, it's just like there is a guy, and you're just like trying to figure out who it is. So that, like, when you need leadership, you're like, okay, that's the most magical person. So if we get into a magic debate, they get to choose. That's all it is. It's a litmus test to find the most magical person. It's not like a position. There's not a democratic voting process for the Supreme. So I don't know why she's like, don't worry, I'll never let them elect Michael. Like, that's not how this works.
In the beginning of this episode, Myrtle literally says to Cordelia when they get off the plane, she's like, your mother was an excellent example that not everybody should be the Supreme. And I'm like, yeah, her mother was a great example that, damn, it sucks when someone who sucks dog shit asshole turns out to be the Supreme, because guess what? We don't get to fucking choose. It just happens. We don't get to pick.
It's almost like magical ability is not a good indicator of democratic capability. Like,
well, what pisses me off too, though, is Cordelia also plays this off like this Light Yagami bullshit thing of just like, nah, you know what, though? This was all according to my plan, because I just wanted him to bring all my girls back. And it's like, bullshit, because you didn't know he was going to do it for...
you triggered my trap card.
Queenie and, God damn it, Madison.
Madison.
Yeah, so you only get it for Misty. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there really are. But like, so it's like bullshit, but then she's like playing it off like, and now that I have everybody back, we can fight him. And then Misty's like, I don't really even fight. And Cordelia's just like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Like,
yeah, that's fine, actually. I just wanted to bring you back because I missed you.
It's so stupid, too, because... Cordelia's like, yeah, I knew he was bad the whole time. And Misty's like, okay, so literally the only thing I've done was tell you that I thought he was bad, and you just told me that you already knew. And she's like, yup. And then she's like, okay, well, I can't help you fight. And she's like, don't worry, Misty, you already did enough by telling me you thought he was bad. But it's like, wait, but you knew already, right? And she's like, yes, for sure.
She's like, I just really missed Misty. Misty is my sweet baby, and I just missed her. And honestly, that's fair. Misty is a delight, so like, I get it. I would just like to have her around also,
but like,
and
do it, say it.
it's just really stupid too, because we have, so Misty is like by all metrics
fine. Like, she came back from hell and is just, like, cool with it. Like, she doesn't seem particularly, like, mind broken in any way, shape, or form. It legitimately does seem like she thought she was down there for, like, a couple minutes. Like, she seems fine. But, no bad news, everybody. Misty Day's back in the show. And you know what that means? We have an excuse to bring Stevie Nicks back.
Great.
Again.
Great.
For some reason.
Good.
Yeah.
Another
and
witch
so
for the fight.
We get another Stevie Nicks musical number just out of nowhere. We have a full musical interlude. It's a whole fucking song. We have a bunch of cuts to the different people around the warlock school and the witch school just looking around being like, wow, I love listening to Stevie Nicks.
Which, even the warlocks, all which right. is so funny. The warlocks are just like, every so often it cuts to one of the warlocks and they're just vibing. They're like, they have a look on their face like they want to be mad. They're like, God damn it, another witch in our boys' school. But they're like, but damn if this song doesn't go hard. It is such a funny sequence, but it is, and I cannot emphasize enough, a whole fucking sequence, the whole goddamn song from start to finish, and we have to sit through the whole fucking thing. Baldwin knows how to play the piano, which is lucky, because I guess she would have gone a cappella if he couldn't.
Yeah, and to clarify, this is one of the Fleetwood Mac songs about being a traveling person, a Roma, but they do not use that term, and it is, at least for me, quite uncomfortable having two white women looking at each other and saying a slur repeatedly and being like, you're a good one of, and then the slur. And I didn't love the way that made me feel when it was just like, great, great, keep it up, white women.
We're really bringing our best and brightest.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Yeah, and it's just, like, real bad, and it takes forever. It, like, takes so much time, and it's so nothing, because at least you're like, oh, was this a ploy to get an additional witch here to help? Is Stevie Nicks about to be plot relevant? No, she's about to vanish into the ether and never appear again.
Yep. Yep, it's literally
but hey,
we
got a whole music video. Unfortunately, there's one scene left in the show, and it actually has to do with the plot. So Cordelia left out of the room for some reason, and Madison just telepathically knew that she was needed to follow somehow, and she does. And when they're alone, Cordelia's like, okay, Madison, I'm sending you somewhere to go warn them about Michael. And I'm like, okay, so more witches, probably. You're going to be so fucking mad when you find out what it is, because why the fuck would they need to know about Michael? And then Chibi's busts in. I don't know how he knows where to go, but he fucking busts in with the funniest fucking attitude, and he's like, I would also be going with Madison, actually. We're going to travel together. And they're like, uh-oh, why? And he's like, I'm also scared of Michael. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like 10 minutes ago, you, were telling John Henry he was a jealous bitch, cause he was scared of Michael. That's crazy. What changed your mind? I don't think you know John died. So like, what was the final straw there, bud? It doesn't say.
Vibes.
Yeah, vibes.
Yeah, it's another case of just everyone is going off vibes, and it's really annoying because Michael Langdon has done many, like, obviously and outwardly evil things. Like, I don't know, maybe when he, like, made a blizzard that almost killed y'all, that would have been like a, we should take a second look at this. You know, like, but no, you just let all of it rock, you fucking lunatics.
And guess where it is? Guess where they're going?
Yeah, and so they say you're going to a place where it was the source of all evil. It's where evil is the most evil it's ever been, and it's it's fucking Murder House. It's goddamn season one Murder House. They use the same establishing shot and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Why?
Why are we going back? Why? Because this doesn't, it wasn't like a notable ghost house. It just was a ghost house.
It's, well, oh, just wait. Well, just wait until you find that out. But like, this is the Avengers Endgame of American Horror Story, basically, where they're like stupid plot threads assemble. And here we are, you know, but.
So just to clarify, both of you had given up at this point.
Oh, yeah, no.
Original airing, right?
Oh, no, no.
Like, both
was,
of you were, like,
hellaciously
out.
I was
you
in
were?
It for
oh, you
Apocalypse.
Were?
No, I was like, this shit's so fucking stupid. I have to see where this goes.
No, I once
okay,
once
yeah,
it was Coven, once it was Coven 2, like, literally when Cordelia, like, floats into frame, I'm like, I'm out. Take easy. Because even at that point, even my wife had noped out of it. And I'm like, I have no motivation for this. The tweets aren't good enough, you know, like, but
the tweets aren't worth it.
Yep. No, I was still doing it back then. I was just like, look, Stu is Stu. How stupid is that, everybody? Then that happened, like, nah, it's not. But yep.
Well, we hope you enjoy listening next time where we do season 8, episode 6, Return to Murder House. Because, like, yeah, hey, if you were reading the episode titles, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck guess. You.
You also don't get, to, you get spoiled, fucker. Enjoy.
That is the name of it, yeah.
It's literally Return to Murder House, which, like, hey, motherfucker, where? What else could that possibly be? Like, there's something to be said for a little bit of cleverness, you know, a little bit of obfuscation, and not just being like, you know, it's Murder House is even capitalized, bro. Like, come on.
So there can be no possible way for you to misinterpret it. We are not misspeaking. It's not a funny little misdirection. It is just Return to Murder House. Fuck you, I guess. can you imagine if that's how Star Wars was? It was just like Star Wars, whatever number. That's their dad.
Return of the Jedi? That'd be so cringe, right?
Yeah. They are siblings.
Well, till next time. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.